What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 20 of the Jungle Podcast. I'm Carter.
And I'm Matthew.
And today, we got a special episode.
Yes,
something
sir.
Something we both very much enjoy, been following for a little while.
Let them know.
And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening are big shoe fans or sneaker fans. Because I know, especially in the last probably like 3 years, I feel like everybody has become like at least somewhat aware of like sneaker culture. You know what I mean?
It's still prevalent though. So many people, it doesn't even have to be nice. You know, I think some people just understand that like Air Force Ones look hella clean, or like Cortezes. Cortezes are just like super simple. They're nothing fancy, but like they just look so like clean and sleek.
You know what I think it was? I think there's sort of like 2-3 shoes that like did it. The Nike Roche was like the first shoe that like everybody had to get. You know what I mean? Like everybody had Roches. And then the Ultra Boost /NMD. Like, as soon as Adidas dropped those, everybody was like, I'm a fan of sneakers. I love shoes. I've been in the game. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I was never, like, I get the comfort aspect, but, like, I never thought they were that much.
Yeah, no, I know you don't like Adidas. And I'm, like, not a huge fan of Adidas unless it's the Boost. Like, the original Boost. But I'm just saying that I'm pretty sure that's the shoe that, like, really did it for
me. Oh, yeah. But it still checks over stripes. Like, come
on. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
let's be realistic.
Like, it's very rare that another shoe company has a shoe that I'm like, I'll buy that. It's like, Nike, I think
the only shoes from Adidas that I'm still like, damn, those are not terrible. Like, I would wear those still. Probably like the turtle shells, like Superstars.
Yeah.
Okay. Stan Smith's site.
Yeah, there's a lot of classic shoes.
They're classic shoes, I don't mind. Yeah. And then like Reeboks, some Reeboks I don't mind.
There's some like classic New Balance colorways that I'm like.
Oh, like the, what is it, the 512, 514 or something like that? I can't remember what the number is, but those are hella
clean.
There's
like New Balance and Saucony that like they have the grids and stuff that it's just like a clean colorway. It just looks good. I feel like sneaker culture has had definitely a huge impact on like the rest of like fashion and sort of just
society,
which it seems weird to say because you're like, wow, how do shoes do anything? But it's like, I guess it has to do with like a lot of the people behind it. But
as I say, I was like, Jordan's on their own, they're not anything special. It's the fact on what it represents and who it's behind, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like a Jordan 1 shoe, if it was released today, just as like one of Nike's whatever sneakers, probably get some hype just because it's a Nike sneaker, but like nothing like compared to the fact that it's a Jordan and it's back for Michael Jordan, you know what I mean? Yeah. All this stuff.
That is a good question. It's like how popular do you think the Jordan 1 would be if there was no history behind it, if they just released it today?
It probably popular enough. Yeah. Like they still look good in my opinion, regardless of if it was backed by Michael Jordan and all the history with it. But like, I think it's because of that history that they're really like, resale value is fucking like what, up to like 3-4K from like $200 sneakers.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's definitely models that are more like the M&M 4 Carhartts.
Oh yeah. But like but that's like a one-off, you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about like generic, something that like literally almost anyone could get if they were willing to spend that amount of money.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I hate sneaker culture for that one thing. It's I just want one pair of shoes that's supposed to only be $300 at most, and yet I have to pay a grand for it. Like, no.
Unfortunately, it's the gentrification of the industry. Like, people sort of just hype it up and just like, the thing is like one person will post the shoe for like $600, $1,000 or whatever, and then everybody is like, well, if he's charging that, like, I'm gonna charge that. And then it just becomes like race to the top of like who can charge the most for that shoe.
Also, the problem is that people use bots nowadays, I feel, especially on like raffle sites, and I'm like, hey, like, what do you need 10 pairs of this shoe for? Like, I get you're trying to sell them, but like, this is actually so rude. Like, if you really were a fan of sneaker culture, like, you wouldn't use a bot.
Dude, people really do anything for money.
That pisses me off. I'm like, damn. Like,
sneakers, clothes, fucking concert tickets. Like, dude, everything.
Oh, I got a funny story about concert tickets. Back when, like, radio was like the be all end all for listening to music in the car, unless you bought CDs or bought cassette tapes or, you know, one of those things. Like most people were still listening to the radio, I'd say like early 2000s.
Yeah.
I remember this one night where I stayed up just like listening to the radio and they called for concert tickets for fucking Maroon 5 because they were coming to Calgary. And I called, I actually won it, but like I wasn't 18 at the time. So I was like, fuck, like I should have just pretended I was 18 and got like someone to go on my behalf. Cause like, I literally got four free tickets to Maroon 5 back in like 2010 or something.
Yeah.
But like I was what? Like 13?
Dude, that's a bitch and a half.
It was actually really funny. I didn't think I was like I literally called as a joke. Like that's back when people still use like landlines in their house. Like I feel like most people now they kind of just use their own cell phone because it's like, I don't know, if you're home, you're usually having your cell phone on you.
Yeah, I'd rather pick up my cell phone than like my home phone.
Yeah,
and like we literally had a home phone until probably like 2-3 years ago, and we just fucking never picked up, and like no one called us. We just got fucking spam calls.
Yeah, like it doesn't really make sense to use. Yeah. But anyways. So I remember I brought that up to my bed and I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to call. Like, I'm not going to win, but like, it'd be pretty funny if I won, right?
Yeah.
What?
Wins. Can't actually get the wins.
He's like, what's your name? And I was like, Matthew. And he was like, what's your age? And I was like, yeah, see about that. He's gosh, like, oh, sorry, man. Like, you got to be 18 or over. And then it went to the next guy. The next guy was on the phone on the radio. And I was like, oh, that could have been me.
Could you imagine if the next guy was like listening? Like if they'd called, like if you called in and they were like on the phone live with you and you were like, yeah, I'm like 12. They're just like, nah, man, you're too young. And the next guy calls, he's like, damn, sucks for that kid. Fuck you. Just starts roasting you on the fucking radio.
Yeah, I'd be so hurt. I'd be like, all right, chill.
It's like, guy, I already lost.
But yeah, no, that was a funny side note. I completely forgot that happened until you mentioned concert tickets and like resell. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot I did that.
Man, that's a thing people forgot they did entirely is just go to concerts because of fucking COVID.
It's actually so weird to think about how the world was prior to COVID. Like it's really so weird. I was like, how the hell was I walking around and like restaurants were hella packed or like clubs? I don't even like clubbing. Like clubbing is not that nice, but like, think about clubs now, I'm like, gross.
Dude, yeah, I cannot even imagine like fucking like trying to get through a crowd of people and like slinking through.
I know.
Like, ah, dude,
concerts and stuff, like, fuck. What was the other? Oh, the other thing that really like bothered me even before COVID was like the lack of sanitation and things. Like people would be like one of my pet peeves is like when you get home after like sitting in transit or sitting on like a bus or like a train or something. And like throughout school or work, and people just lie down on their bed with the clothes that they were out on, and I'm like, gross. Like, do you actually know where, or like, what's been on the seat that you were sitting on for like 20 minutes or whatever? It's like you're really just putting all those germs on your bed. Like, pet peeve, or like people at Sate. When I was going to Sate, they would they'd wash their hands or they wouldn't wash their hands after using the bathroom. I'm like, it's actually fucking nasty. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Dude, that grosses me out. And I'm like, now I thank God people are a little more like. Aware of,
especially if you're in a public place, if you're not washing your hands, bro, what the fuck?
There's one time I say it where this guy took a dump, and afterwards he was just walking out, and someone literally called him out, like another person that was also in the bathroom as I was washing my hands before he got there. He's like, "Are you not washing your hands?" He looks at us and he goes, "Eh." And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, no, see, I feel like. The type of person that does 30. That is definitely the type of guy to just like double down on it too.
Yeah, that's like, I was actually so grossed out. I was like, why would you do that?
Like takes a fucking banana out of the garbage. Like, goddamn, this man's moving different.
It's actually like nasty.
He's just grinching his shit, just fucking taking shit out of the trash and eating it.
His hands probably look like the Grinch's, bro. Like fuzzy and green. Yeah. Like, I was actually it was gross. It was actually so gross.
Yo, so anyways. Somewhat on that note, oh, I was about to go little bit again. On that note, well, I guess it's sort of related to shoes. Who the fuck wears shoes in the house? I never get that shit.
I do get it, but like I don't do it myself, but I do know people that wear it because they can't wear, like they can't basically can't not wear shoes. like it's like problems with their foot and stuff. Like,
oh, okay.
Because there's someone I know. It's like support, they need the support, so it's like they have indoor shoes.
See, that's fair, but like some people literally,
but like just yeah, casually, no,
go cool. wear that's whatever gross. Shoes that's they're so wearing gross. For the day in the house. It's like, dude, what the?
Especially if it's why? Like, what if it's snowy out? Like, I get not everyone has to deal with that.
Okay, I guess at that point maybe they probably take their shoes off, but
yeah,
but I don't know. It's just
I have some family down in the States that do that, yeah, and it is a little odd, but like it never literally snows in California.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get like weather wise in California if you're doing it, but like the simple concept of doing it is just weird. It's like why?
It is very odd.
Like it feels so good to take your shoes off after a long day too.
Facts,
but. Or we were talking about Jordan 1 before, right? Yeah, and how that's
Jordans
like,
in general
changed shit. Yeah, see, because I feel like obviously Jordan's changed a lot of things. The Cortez changed a lot. Like that was like
I think there's Nike a lot of like dunks. Yeah, dunks are pretty revolutionary. Air Force Ones are pretty revolutionary.
I think the first shoe to ever like really make an impact though was probably like the what are they called? The Converse, Air Maxes, whatever.
Oh. No. Oh, you're talking about like earlier.
Oh, yeah. Because that was the first time that like shoe companies ever partnered with like NBA players. So like they had the Converse with like Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, like Patrick Ewing. Yeah, like they had all Russell. These like huge athletes. And so I feel like that was probably the first shoe that people were like, yeah.
You know what's funny though is that I never thought of Converse as like athletically inclined shoes. Like if you wear Converse, like if you wear Chucks, I don't know, to me I'm like I can run in this, but like do I really want to? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's very odd because it's just like a canvas shoe with like a rubber bottom and it's kind of just all stitched together like that, and I'm like like I can't see how this was like the defining factor. And like when you think about how shoes are now, it's like it makes much more sense on the shoes now.
Yeah.
And why they're like designed for the sport or tailored to the sport that you're wearing them for.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays there's tons of science that goes into it. But I mean, back in the day when they had their like basketball shoe, it was like a legitimate, like it was a lot more than just the canvas shell.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, even now.
Even like Cortez's. Cortez's were what? Like gym shoes at one point?
Yeah, like running shoes.
I can do all of the stuff that I would do. Like running, jumping, whatever I'm doing, but like it just doesn't feel right, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
knowing that there are shoes out there that are more like tailored to that.
Yeah, like when you if you were to compare like a Cortez and like the Vapor Max or whatever, no, not the Vapor Max, Vapor Fly. Mm-hmm. It's like a running shoe that, and it was like it caused controversy in the running scene because people are like, Is this like more efficient than every other shoe? Because like runners were literally getting faster times by just wearing them. Like you compare those two shoes, holy shit! I've never even worn Vapor Maxes, but like or Vapor Flies, but like
I want to try it. Like I'm actually curious. I remember reading that article. Apparently, someone finished like significantly faster with those shoes on, and there was no changes to the diet, the exercise, the training regimen.
Yeah, and people started and I'm wearing
like,
them.
What the
and,
hell like, is so like? What's so special about the shoe? Yeah. Like, what is so special about the shoe?
Yeah, like, average runners started improving their times. It was like, okay, I get if you're an athlete, like, you're training and that's, like, your thing. But, like, if you're an average runner and you just put on a shoe and you're, like, a minute faster, 2 minutes faster, whatever, like, what?
Doesn't seem like a lot. Like, a minute to 2 minutes isn't a lot of time, like, in general. But, like, in terms of a race, that's a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Especially if you're, like, two, 3 minutes faster. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's a significant difference.
And it's all because of a shoe. That's crazy.
Yeah. I like, dude, that's crazy. Like, imagine the science that we'll have in shoes in like 10, 15 years. Just be able to literally bounce to the moon.
Honestly, like, technological developments with shoes kind of impressed me as of late. Like, there's the self-lacing shoes that were kind of a gimmick and like, they were kind of a gimmick first, and I think like Back to the Future, I think it's probably the first like notable pop culture, like widespread use of like a self-lacing shoe.
Yeah,
which is like it's a really cool concept. It's a cool concept. Press a button and your shoes tie for you, like such a niche gimmick. But then there's like they actually developed the technology for it to be like more widespread, and it's actually pretty cool.
Well, and it's crazy the technology has like come far enough that. Like you have to have charge it in the your shoe. Shoes. Well, not just charge it, but you can have it in a shoe and it doesn't like completely make it heavy. You know what I mean? Like, it still feels like a regular shoe. That's crazy.
Have you ever worn a pair of BB Maxes?
No, I haven't. I kind of want to wear.
I want to try it. Like, I'm just curious. Or yeah. Adapt, sorry.
Because I know they have the Adapt 2.0 now. Mm-hmm. I think I still honestly like the 1.0 is better. They just look sick, but I mean, this is such a crazy shoe, dude. The fact that it has like two little lights on the bottom that you can change the color with your phone. That's kind of cool. Sick.
I do like the look of them though. I'm not gonna lie. Like, they actually look pretty solid.
The 2.0s or 1.0s?
Both.
Yeah.
Like, for shoes that are so technologically, like, dense, advanced, I guess you say. Like, there's so much crap that's probably in that shoe. Like, they still managed to make it look, like, half decent. Pretty solid on their part.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem weird that, like, well, I guess it's, like, a little, it's, like, basically just a motor, like, this big. And it just sits in, like,
probably in the sole.
Well, it's, like, right under the shank of the shoe, so, like, right on the arch.
Oh, really?
It's because that part doesn't, like, bend, really.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that I part of your shoe.
You need a motor, or the motor probably can't really be
forced
into much.
Yeah, so if you have it right on the arch, you're not going to get a lot of impact, you're not going to get a lot of flexion out of it. So, but, dude, that's still crazy that, like, again, you can still have something that small. And make it make sense. Here's another like bad example of gentrification. The fucking Nike Adapt, the mag colorway, the one that are like look like the Back to the Future color.
Yeah, BB Mags.
Yeah, well, there's the BB Mags, and those are the original. But then this Adapt basketball shoe is like 900 Canadian.
Is it actually?
Yeah. Well, that's on GOAT.
Oh, these. You know what makes me mad about these is that they had a release on sneakers. Like Nike sneakers.
Yeah.
And because of how expensive they were, like, normally, I think they're like 400 some.
Yeah. Well, the 2.0s are 450, and you can actually get them at Sport Check.
No, but the same colorway as the Back to the Future, the Mags.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Those were released on sneakers at first, before anywhere else, I remember. And I had a chance to grab them. Like, damn, they didn't sell out right away. Yeah, they didn't sell out right away. So I was like,
much? Holy shit.
It was at 450, and that's why I said no. I was like, you know, like, as cool as they are, like, I don't really need sneakers that are $450 self-lacing, no matter how cool they
especially
look.
Especially if you don't seriously play basketball.
That too. And, like, even if you do seriously play basketball, like, is this the shoe you really want to use? You know what
I mean? Yeah. Yeah, is it the best shoe? Also, I feel like if you're wearing Adapts, you got to drop 40 on everyone every
that's
game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what if you, like to play basketball but you're not that serious, like
yeah you don't want to be that guy that has like the most serious shoes and sucks.
That's like that RDC World skit. It's like three signs you shouldn't pick him up. Have you seen it? It's like, look at this guy, he's wearing matching everything, he's trying too hard.
Yeah. he's using all his moves in warm-ups. Yeah. That dude RDC World's fucking hilarious.
He was like, this guy's wearing a headband, you know, he's serious.
The dude walks in and he's like, there's the fucking basic white dude just like doing his regular shot, and
basic
he's like,
white dudes are pretty solid.
They're fundamental as hell.
Fundamental as hell.
You know, if he's open, he's hitting that.
He's, and then it's the third guy's like, is this guy wearing Vans? I've seen enough. Too much.
Bro, that is funny though. It's like you could actually tell by somebody's shoes, like, if they're good or not, or like how, you know, like how serious they are. Like, if they're wearing slides, bro, do not play one-on-one. You're getting destroyed.
Yeah, if they're willing to one-on-one you,
they're hooping
slides,
in slides,
bro,
you're fucked.
Then you know, you're just like, oh, okay,
unless,
fuck. Like,
yeah, unless you're like
this guy's so confident in his skill set that he's gonna fuck you up at slides.
Like, yeah, unless you're super quick and you just blow by them, then like, if you don't do that, nah, you're not winning.
Yeah.
Because the dude will just hit it like a step back every time and just hit you with the three.
It's kind of crazy how it's warm enough to go play ball outside right now.
Right?
Like, I was thinking about it. I was like, damn, I could legit like go to the course right now and actually play basketball. Like, it's
and it
probably
wouldn't be
clear.
That bad.
No.
What's like, crazy is like, what, 4 or 5 days ago, it was like almost 20 degrees. What the fuck is that?
It's like, yeah, it was December. Like midday. It was like, I think 16 degrees out or something. And I was at work, and I was like, holy shit, like, why am I indoors? Let's go work outside.
Bro, in between class, I literally just went, like, sat outside for a bit.
It was really nice out.
Yeah.
Global warming.
Yeah, that is the only, sort of, like, alarming thing.
It is very alarming.
Like, if it was, like, you know, a couple days of, like, 2, 3, 4 degrees, then I'd be like, all right, we're just having a Chinook.
Yeah. And but it's literally, like yeah. plus 10 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not so good. It's kind of alarming.
All right, let's switch gears here for a sec.
All right. What you got?
Top three favorite shoes right now.
Favorite shoes right now?
Yeah.
That I or, like, own, on your
wish
like,
list. On okay, your wish on list. On your wish list. Within reason. Like, I'm not going to say, like, go get Red Octobers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. Didn't fucking Caleb have Red Octobers for grad?
That was such a next level flex.
Yeah, this man literally crossed the stage.
This guy walked the stage and he had Red Octobers on. I was like, damn, he is not playing.
Dude, yeah, that's crazy.
That whole friends group always had nice shoes. Like, Kelvin has nice shoes too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them there that, like, they cared about their sneakers. But yeah, top three.
Top three
that you could reasonably actually buy, so I'd say like probably like 2K and under, unless you have the money to drop on fucking.
Well, if we're talking shoes that I'm gonna buy,
Jordan Dior's
Chicago's.
Or they say Jordan Dior.
No. Nah, the Chicago's too classic.
They look really good.
Number two that I want to buy though, I don't know. Yeah, I kind of low key.
Well, it doesn't have to necessarily be buy, but like on your wish list. You
right. Know what I mean? Okay. Yeah.
Like if someone's like, give me three shoes, Secret Santa style, like this is what you might get for Christmas between these three. It's like, what three shoes would you put on there?
Okay. Yeah. So Jordan 1 Chicago's.
That's fair. I low key really like the Spider-Man ones though.
Blanking. Though, yeah, they are sick. Because they're
not that much more different
to
Chicago, but like there's slight differences there. And I'm like, these are kind of fly.
Like, yeah, they pretty much just like the same thing, just translucent sole and then like the little webs on the.
Yeah, and the little upper. Like dots on it.
Do you know who Fomer Simpson is? It's like a sneaker YouTuber. Okay, so.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he dropped a collab with Saucony. It's called the Bubba Gump. It's the SD, the Grid SD Bubba Gump, dude. So clean, but they were like a limited release when they first dropped. It's basically like reddish,
nice.
Yeah, salmon. They're sick. So I think probably that.
See, you know what's crazy to me about this is that like obviously. The Saucony brand does not have nearly the same pull as like a Nike check or like an Adidas stripe.
Yeah.
Or even like a Puma or a Reebok and stuff. But like they do have some clean ass shoes.
That's what I'm saying. And Saucony and like
it's an underrated, basics. I would say it's an underrated shoe. Like they're still nice. Like I think anyone that really appreciates sneakers would appreciate a Saucony sneaker.
Yeah.
But like most people, like if someone who didn't or who wasn't as into sneakers as like say you or I or whatever. They saw that, they'd be like, oh, it's probably just some off-brand fucking Walmart shoe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, they've never heard of Saucony.
Yeah. And but you, I gotta admit, you know for a fact, nice... they're going to feel good on your feet because it's fucking Saucony.
Yeah, isn't that their whole shtick? Like, comfort?
Or like, yeah. Well, or yeah, like, they're like serious generally... running shoes generally. So yeah. Like, they well, do a yeah, good job of like, providing high quality, like, yeah, feel.
All right, know. So that's two. Chicago's, Saucony, Bubba Gumps.
Three on a wish list. Oh, I don't know. Give me some time. You try to rattle off your top three.
Oh, I got my top three already.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's
same. It's just these shoes have been on this my top three list for forever.
Yeah. Okay.
Like Air Force One, like the D Books, the Moss Point ones, clean as hell.
Fair enough.
Baby blue with a little bit of brown. Oof.
Fair enough.
Cortez Kenny's, easy. The first one. I have the fourth, and I'm like, these are nice, but like, the first one is just nice.
Yeah. You
know? Third one, probably just the Jordan 1. Actually, the Jordan ones, but the Spider-Man ones. I really like them.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Pretty solid.
I'm thinking my third shoe got to be a ball shoe.
Yo, this guy bought Paul George ball shoes.
Yeah. I was about to say, I would say
he likes to miss. He likes to miss.
Nah, the side of the back. When I bought them, he was fresh off an MVP caliber season. So,
yeah, but when you last used them, he was what? Missing shots?
No, he was. He was like start of the season. He was. He was like.
Oh, that's fresh. The last time you hooped?
Yeah, dude, I haven't hooped since last
summer,
March-ish, or like yeah, I guess in the summer.
You probably went at least once during the summer.
Yeah. That's true.
Tragic.
Yeah, I went.
I don't know why I'm acting like I went recently. Like I haven't, but
yeah.
It kind of sucks though. I'd love to go like into an indoor court. I feel like that's like one of my favorite ways to like get out. I guess it's not really out. You're indoors still, but like get active.
Like we talked about like renting out a gym, but I feel like West Side is kind of expensive to do that.
I'd actually be kind of down to go to like Rep. Ugh, can't believe I have to call it Repsol now.
I know. I'd still call it Talisman. Fuck that.
Yeah. I would go to Tally. That's nice.
Yeah.
Tally's gyms are kind of nice too. They're like super open at the top, but like, I don't know. I don't think it's too expensive from what I recall.
Yeah.
Like you get like at least four people in it, it's like pretty reasonable to split. Like it's not too much more. So I think it's like 100 for something. Couple hours.
That's not bad, actually. I think Westside is like almost double.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's somewhere around there.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, come the new year, though. Come the new year. Yeah, fucking third shoe. It's got to be a ball shoe. I feel like... shit. I don't know if I'd say, like, the Zoom Freaks.
Because I actually really like them. Look of them, they're nice.
Kobe 4 Pro Tro. Mm-hmm.
Aren't those expensive?
They are expensive. Actually, hold on. Kobe 4 or Kobe 5? Because I heard that... I know the Kobe 4 is, like, they didn't really Pro Tro it. It's all the old tech. But the Kobe 5... Yeah, fuck it. I would go Kobe 5.
They're nice.
Yeah, this looks sick. Looks sick. They are sick. Yeah, Kobe 5 Pro Tro. Hell yeah.
Actually, quick question on you. I just want to see what your thoughts were. Zion being the 2K cover athlete.
Oh, that's disrespect, bro. That's disrespect. Dame should have been all over it. That's why I'm... Fair. Dude, Dame has what to kind be of, the most snub.
What kind of blew fucking... my mind? What kind of blew my mind? Is that like this guy literally didn't even play an NBA game yet, or like at most like 10, right? Like 10 to 20.
I think he played like 30 by the end of the season, but like
is that inclusive of the bubble though?
I think it would be. So, yeah,
because I was like, I'm pretty sure he played like just under 30 or just under 20 games before the season got canceled.
All right, give me a second.
Postponed rather. Sorry,
I'll look it up.
But like I don't know, I feel like there's a wide variety of people. Like Kobe on the Legendary Edition, perfect sense
obviously
to me.
Yeah,
one's gonna question that. Dame being the cover athlete for like current gen consoles, I guess, like that's fine. But like Zion being on the next gen cover, like that's, I don't know, there's a lot of players there that I'm like, damn.
I mean, I get I've what seen players better at. Than
I've seen players better than Zion that didn't get a cover until they were like well into their career, you know what I mean? Like Zion hasn't even played a full season yet.
Yeah,
but I kind of get them doubling down on it.
But I see what they were doing. Like it's on next gen console. He's like the next generation NBA player. Yeah. So like
who got
I
next?
Get it,
like,
but
everyone thinks it to be him.
But like, what about Jason Tatum, Brandon Ingram?
About to mention,
like, there's tons of young players. Did fucking Devin Booker,
President's Choice, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no. Devin Booker needs a fucking cover.
He doesn't need to be on the cover, but like someone needs to put some. If the Suns make it this year to at least like second round, Devin Booker is going to be viewed very differently. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like people just view him right now as a certified scorer that like doesn't really have too much help and like isn't great on defense. But like, I don't know.
I think they're in a good position this year to.
Yeah, with CP3.
Make a big move, yeah.
And DeAndre Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton's looking solid. Like, dude, they just have to take that same bubble
energy
into
the
next season.
I'm telling you, DeAndre Ayton with CP3 as a point guard, this guy is going to shine.
Yep. As long as
he's a solid person. Like, you don't go first overall, and, like, most people shouldn't go first overall and bust, but, like,
yeah.
This guy's going to have one of the best point guards of all time.
No, I think
like,
I think
lobs and PNRs with and like the yeah. whole 9 yards. Like
I think the reason why he didn't look as good the like
didn't over this he past didn't while, he have to sit out a significant amount this season?
That, but they also if you look at a lot of the plays that they set for him, it was always like near the top of the key or like by the free throw line, like having him hit mid range jumpers. Like, dude, just do a full pick and roll. Have him drive to the basket. Yeah. Like that's like, his bread and butter.
This guy's what, 7'1"?
Yeah.
I'm like he's a certified big man and he's hella big and like he's probably pretty strong. Like
yep.
I don't think there's many people that can stop and meet him at the rim aside from like certified rim protectors, maybe.
He averaged like the second year, he averaged 18.2 points and 11.5 rebounds.
Yeah, that's like
even last year he averaged a double-double in his rookie season. Like,
I'm pretty sure actually that's pretty similar to what Tim Duncan was averaging like in his later stages of his career, where he's still like obviously a really good player. Like, no one's gonna deny that Tim Duncan was like hella fire still well into the 2010s. Like in 2012, 2013, 2014. That's what I'm saying. Like, he still won a championship. But, like, they were playing some divine basketball. Like some divine basketball. Like you were watching the player like,
yeah.
Damn, what the fuck?
No, like, he didn't stop dropping double doubles until 2011.
And even then, he was still dropping.
He was 1 point off. Oh, and then he dropped another double double season in 2012-2013.
That's what I'm saying. Like well into the early 2010s, like this guy was still nice. Like
yep.
If DeAndre Ayton is putting up numbers that Tim Duncan was putting up when his career was starting to like recede, like clearly this guy's gonna be good.
Okay, I mean that's also maybe not the best analogy. Talking about literally a Hall of Famer in his late years, of course he's gonna be averaging that.
Right, he also had Pop, one of the best coaches, yeah. And like pretty solid ass team.
And Obi-Wan Ginobili, TP, they had nasty teams, man. It's sad to see the Spurs not do well anymore.
I don't really know what they're going for. Like they have LaMarcus Aldridge, they have DeRozan, but I'm like. Those are good players.
Retirement team. Kind
of older now.
Retirement
like,
team.
Yeah. I don't know. All I'm saying is that DeAndre Ayton.
Speaking of DeMar DeRozan, do you hear?
Solid ass player.
He chased a dude out of his house. Some dude.
Oh yeah, I read that.
Break in. Yeah.
They were trying to get to Kylie Jenner's house.
Or the, I think yeah, like well, because I think he did it to Kylie's house, and then he did it to DeRozan's house. Why did
That's
people break
so
in
creepy.
Anything?
Like, That's yeah. so creepy. Like, imagine being a celebrity and someone just comes up to your house unwarranted. It's not that, like, if they're a fan and they have no ill intentions, I'd still be like, all right, come on, respect boundaries. But, like, I think it's a little different when you know they have something out for you.
Yeah. I'd mention the, I feel like I did maybe a little while ago, the guy that tried to break into John Jones's house. Like, John Bones
yeah.
Jones.
And then I'm pretty sure, because I remember this episode, didn't Steven... Steven brought up how people broke into Meg Turney.
Right.
And
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that was that conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fucking crazy. Trying to break into a fucking basketball player's house or fucking MMA fighter's house. You fucked up.
Wait, John Jones is a basketball player too?
No. I'm saying DeMar DeRozan. Sorry. That was a little confusing.
Oh. Yeah. I was like, John Jones did ball?
No. I mean, who knows? Maybe he plays ball.
Probably. He's probably pretty solid. Like, yeah. I just assume anyone that's like, in the sports world is at least half decent at any sport they could try, like not necessarily like pro level obviously, but like
yeah, I mean I
probably good enough to actually like play in a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we've seen that with Nate Robinson. Did you see that fight?
That's tragic.
Did you watch that?
Just the highlights. I didn't watch.
Oh man, like I knew he was outclassed by Jake Paul, as much as I hate Jake Paul.
Okay,
the guy's been fighting for 2 years.
I've been saying this. I was like, all right, love them or hate the Paul brothers, like they're actually good at fighting. Like, no, I can't deny it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, like they
had the wrestling experience
exactly.
Before,
yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah.
These guys clearly know that they actually know how to train and stuff. Like, it's not like a one-off fight. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this was a rigged yeah. fight. You know, like the KSI Logan Paul fight or whatever. And I mean, clearly these guys actually know how to fight. Like, it's not like they just picked up some boxing gloves and were like, "Fuck it, let's make some money." Like,
yeah, it's like even Logan, like. He,
yeah, yeah, like
Drew
you look
and
at them,
lost, but like his technique's good.
You look at them fight, and you're like, no, they actually know what they're doing.
Yeah,
like I think I was talking about it with Michael a while back when we were watching the KSI Logan Paul fight, the round 2, and he's like, yeah. It's actually kind of terrifying that he's actually this good. Like,
yeah, like yeah,
for someone who's not had really like, good. I don't know, hell of a lot of experience in like fighting. Like obviously MMA fighters and people in the UFC, like they've been training for this for like years on end.
Yeah.
But like people that are like YouTubers from before that like just had wrestling experience, for someone who's only trained for like a year and a half, 2 years prior to that fight, pretty impressive. And all like, yeah.
With that said, both the Paul brothers have called out professional fighters, and I don't think they realize they will die. They will legit just die.
100%. Who called out McGregor? Was that
Logan, I think.
And was it Logan or Jake?
Jake. I think they've called out everyone, but I think most recently Jake called out Mayweather. It's like, guy, he's 50-0 against really good fighters. He literally beat Canelo Alvarez in his early prime. But like Canelo Alvarez is one of the greatest fighters that fucking live. This man beat him.
There's a lot.
Yeah. Like you're not touching him. You will literally not hit him.
I think this is one thing. Like I remember watching the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, and I'm like, see, you can hate on how he won that fight. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like I thought it was kind of dumb. But like I have to respect that he played it really smart. Like he knows that like Manny Pacquiao is able to keep up with punches and hit him just as fast. Yeah. So you have to play defensively. Like, yeah, it makes sense. Like the name I'm not going to knock him for it. Yeah.
The name of the game is hit and don't get hit. That's what he does. Like,
and it's like obviously like no one got knocked out. And I think that's what everyone was hoping for. Like one or the other was going to get knocked out, because it's like these are two of the biggest names in the boxing world. It's like you want to see a good fight. So it's like watching someone kind of just like duck and dodge the entire time. It's it kind of sucks to watch the moment because it's not as interesting. But it's like he played that so smartly.
Yo. Which I think is one of the downside of like when you have like a big fight like that and you have a bunch of people who watch that don't normally watch boxing. They're just expecting a knockout, but like they don't know that.
Yeah, and they're just like, wow, like he's not even trying. And I'm like, yeah, he is trying. Like,
yeah, like none of these fighters are like really knockout fighters. Like Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather do not really knock people out. They might have done it in their prime because obviously they're young, but they were also like in their, late 30s when they were fighting each other?
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao I think is close to 40 now. And probably Mayweather too.
I'm pretty sure Manny Pacquiao is like in his 40s already.
Is he now?
Because I'm pretty sure when they were fighting, like he was almost 40. Wow, I failed
as a Filipino individual.
But I'm pretty sure, he's 41.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like, 30?
It's actually, have you seen him do his training videos? There's some people, Mike Tyson has done his training videos, Floyd Mayweather, like all these boxers and stuff. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You don't even look like you're 40. Like, oh my. I remember watching the Manny Pacquiao video with Michael, and like, I've never seen someone hit that fast in their 40s. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah, Pacquiao and Tyson, in their most recent training that I've seen, they still look ridiculous.
And I'm like, you could easily, like, obviously, it's different when you're actually in a fight. But like, just in your training, if you look that good, like, I can't not be curious about if you would be able to keep up in a ring. You know what I mean? Like, you look like you can. Like, it looks effortlessly to you.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about Tyson? His cardio looked so good in that fight. And then after the fight, he was like, I smoked before the fight. against Roy Jones.
Roy Jones.
Like, so you smoked before the fight, and you were not out of breath at all during the fight? Dude, what the fuck? This training is insane. This man's a machine.
I love how he literally blazed.
Yeah, before the fight.
That's funny. I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
And his cardio was still not affected. Like, this man is not a human.
Man, I don't know. I think that's one of the things about the sports world is we always get... I think it was Jordan most recently in his interview. He's like saying you shouldn't compare eras to eras. It's a little different in basketball compared to boxing because it's like you can see in boxing, I think, a little more clearly if someone who would win in a fight just like based on how they play and stuff. Whereas basketball, it's way more team oriented.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, when it's like individual. Also, you can tell by like the styles. It's like if somebody fights one style and like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, whatever. I think it's a little easier to distinguish that in boxing compared to like basketball or hockey or even soccer, I guess you could say, because they're all team based sports. But like, I feel like in boxing, you could actually get a pretty clear cut picture on who you think might win that. Obviously, it's probably going to be highly up for debate. You know what I mean? Like if you put a prime Mike Tyson against like a prime Mayweather or whatever, it's like
they're different weight classes. But like, yeah, if you put Mike Tyson against like Anthony Joshua or something,
I'm just saying like if you put someone who's considered to be great against another person who's considered to be great and like face them off against each other, like in a theoretical like sense, like you could probably make out who might win more easily than I would say ball or hockey or more team oriented sports.
Yeah,
just because it's so much more focused on the individual. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like you could you can tell if you're especially if you're talking like really old time fighters like Sugar Ray Robinson. He's an exception because he's just ridiculous. But like somebody of that era whose like style is just really old.
This is an unrelated question. Sorry, before I forget. There's someone I remember reading up on. He's not too old, but I think he played professional baseball in addition to professional football. I want to say.
Oh, Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson. Yeah. I was like, what the hell's his name?
Yeah, that man's an animal.
Have you seen? Who do you think? Who do you think in today's sports world is able to transition into different sports?
That's a good question.
Actually do really good.
Yeah.
Like you have people Nate that Robinson, like. Yeah, that's fair.
He was literally on like, the Seahawks roster for a little while.
True. You have people like obviously like Allen Iverson, who everyone knew was a certified monster in football in like high school and college years, but like obviously played basketball.
LeBron.
Same thing with like LeBron did that. Yeah. Jordan obviously played baseball for a few years too.
Wasn't fantastic, but he's still. I was going to say MLB he wasn't. Or, like.
Wasn't terrible, but he wasn't like. Wasn't like A1.
Yeah.
But like, who do you think in today's world could probably transition into different sports?
I'm trying to think like. See, I would say like somebody from football like Odell or like. I mean, I feel like a lot of quarterbacks could probably switch into like baseball. Like, okay, Russell Wilson for sure, because he literally had tryouts. Yeah. On fucking professional teams, but man, I don't know. Yeah, I see it because the thing is like you'd have to pick specific sports that I guess have somewhat similar like attributes.
I don't know why, but I could really see Chris Paul being a soccer player.
Chris Paul,
just because like Steve Nash. Steve Nash too. Like it's just like their body control and like their spatial awareness, which is such a crucial part of like soccer, I would say. It's so off the charts where it's like, this guy clearly could like do other things with his, like the amount of spatial awareness and like his IQ, obviously.
Yeah.
Basketball is really high, but I'm sure it could transition pretty well into other sports. I could see him being really good at soccer. I don't know why. Obviously he has an injury problem as a lot of athletes do in today's world, but
I was going to see that somebody,
I feel like Giannis could probably play any sport, really.
I think he would get destroyed in football, though. He's just too tall.
True. Okay, that's fair. That's
like, he gets tackled and both legs are broken.
Who do you think would be a good NBA to football or NBA to NFL transition? Aside from, like, who we've already mentioned. Like, obviously, AI is retired.
Yeah.
LeBron's kind of old now. But,
I don't know. Like, P.J. Tucker.
Probably still be a solid...
Feel like
PJ Tucker.
Feel like he has the body type.
Pretty
to like,
dense, yeah. 6'6".
Or like Eric Gordon or something.
6'5".
Yeah, I think he's 6'5". Man, I don't know.
I would not. Meta World Peace.
Yeah, dude, he already fights. He already fucking knocks people out. Like, have you seen that
Russell
Harden
Westbrook's
clip,
a good one.
Right? You've seen that Harden clip where Harden was on OKC and... Meta World Peace, just like he's like celebrating and he just fucking like elbows him in the head.
Oh yeah.
It's like, hey, clearly you were just trying to fucking kill the man, because no one celebrates just like fucking doing that. Flying
such an odd celebration.
Yeah, seriously, fuck man, that guy's crazy. There's some people that like that have been in the NBA that you're like, you shouldn't be in this sport, man. You're just trying to fight people. You should be in MMA.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Who was with them in Malice at the Palace? There was two people there.
Is the Pacers and Detroit, I think.
No. But who was I don't remember. I just remember the interview. I'm pretty sure he was talking to someone. He's like, hey man, do you think we're still gonna be able to play after this? He's like, I don't know if I'll have jobs after this. It was Ron Artest. He was talking to someone. I just can't remember who his name is. Or what his name is.
Ben Wallace? I don't know. That's who he, like, fouled.
This is such an odd, like, I can't believe this happened.
Yeah. going fighting fans. Yeah, it's one thing to fight each other and do that, but he goes fucking run into the crowd and start fighting fans. Fuck me, man. Yeah, the NBA was crazy back then. Literally just decking random people in the face.
Oh, yeah, so he fouled Ben Wallace, and then, okay.
There's Rasheed Wallace, like, you know, Reggie.
Steven Jackson? Maybe it was him.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I can't remember. I just remember that. I just thought the dialogue was funny. It's like, hey, man, like, we just beat the shit out of some fucking fans. Like, do you think we're going to be able to play?
Yeah, it could have
been. Play next game? He's like, I don't know if we'll have jobs after this.
Yo,
it is kind of crazy, though. It's like, I don't know. To me, basketball doesn't seem like a sport where, like, something like this would happen. But it's like, it happened.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that interview of, it's like Steven Jackson after a Big Three game? Like that Big Three league. And
no, I have not.
The reporter, this was like back in, I don't know, 2016, 2017 or whatever. The reporter's like, do you think Kobe Bryant could play in this league? And he's like, Kobe, the man who dropped 60 in his last game. You don't think he could play in this league? And I'm playing.
Oh, never. I saw this. Yeah. You showed me this. You're the one that showed me this, actually. Yeah. I remember
it's
this.
Like, it's like, dude, what do you mean? He's literally like one of the greatest players ever. What do you mean he can't play in a fucking rec league? Like, what?
Actually, quick basketball question for you, since it's all the speculation right now.
Okay.
Lakers repeat?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you say?
I think they've gotten better.
Especially because Golden State lost Klay again, unfortunately.
Yeah. Man, that's tough. Like, if the Clippers this year, or Denver plays really, really well.
It depends. Well, we have to see, because if Jamal Murray keeps playing how he was playing in the bubble, it actually like becomes a certified star.
Yeah.
If Jamal Murray plays like he played in the bubble, he's an all-star. Probably going to be all NBA first or second. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
He was going nuts.
If we get potentially bringing your girlfriend into the bubble, Jamal Murray, then yeah, the Lakers might not win. If somebody tells Jamal Murray that he can have his girlfriend if they win a chip.
I feel like the biggest thing that Lakers had going for them was the amount of chemistry they had. I feel like they really looked like they were like just vibing the entire time. Like, it didn't look like they would fight. Hold each other accountable, but like in like a professional way. You know, like, hey man,
you
shouldn't have fucking went for that. We shouldn't have done that play. Like, it was kinda, you know, clearly it didn't work out. We should try this one this time. And everyone like swallowing their ego and be like, all right, bet. Like, I want to win this chip. That's what I need to do.
Which is one of the disappointing, like, kind of aspects of... Because they don't have Rondo anymore. So that's kind of shitty. They do have Dennis Schroeder, though. And Dennis Schroeder's kind of sick.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how this turns out. Because there was the whole... Obviously, the media blows it up in proportion. But apparently, Dennis Schroeder wanted to start at point guard over LeBron. Like, he didn't say over LeBron, but I mean, like, LeBron's going to be your starting point guard. Like, come on. You don't average double-digit assists and have one of the best basketball IQs and are 6'9 and can see over half the team and not start at point guard.
Hold on.
But
is it Alphonso McKinney or it's Patrick McCaw that's won a chip, like, every single year.
Yeah, he won with the Raptors and he won with the Warriors.
Yeah.
Didn't he win three chips basically just being on the bench?
He went, two chips in back-to-back years.
Oh, two chips? I thought it was three. I thought he won on both Golden State teams and the Raps.
Oh, it is. Fuck me.
It is, right? Okay, I was like, I'm pretty sure he won three.
He won, 2016-17 and 17-18 Golden State.
That's actually funny.
And then he went to Cleveland, and then Cleveland was like, nah, we don't want you. Go to Toronto. Have fun trying to win a chip. And then he was like, all right, I'll win a chip and won it. I swear to God, if he gets traded to the Lakers,
that's exactly what I read. It was like, if Patrick McCaw ends up on whatever team he ends up on, like, just bet on that team going to the finals, because apparently he's got the luck of the
bro. If he goes to the Lakers, we know that Patrick McCaw winning a chip is the glue that holds the world together, because he didn't win this past year, and everyone
the year with the shit.
Everyone got fucked. Patrick McCaw just needs to win a chip every year. He's the actual GOAT.
That's so odd to me that, like, someone who basically didn't really, well, I'm not going to say he didn't contribute, but, like, he clearly wasn't, like, a starting player or, like, the star player of a team. But he still won three chips. Like, you got to hand it to him.
Bro, you know what's crazy?
Whether it's
he has a better finals record than LeBron.
No, he's 3-0.
Yo, he's halfway to Jordan, bro.
You imagine if you go 6-0? That's like who's it? Robert Horry. See, the one that has 7 chips.
Yeah, he's got 7 chips. We're pretty much riding the bench. I mean, he played a little bit, you know. Don't get me wrong, but
well, again, yeah, it's like Patrick McCall. Like, you don't make it to the NBA by being a mid-level player. Like, you're still in the top 1% of players. It's just like, of the top 1% of players, are you in the top 1% of that top 1%?
Yeah.
Like, no.
I mean, the only most deserved yet most undeserved chip is still Jeremy Lin. It's like, that man needed a chip, but also did not deserve winning the chip that year.
It's actually very funny how he has a chip.
Yeah. He, like, got traded.
Man, poor Jeremy Lin. I feel like if the Knicks actually spent time on developing him, I feel like he actually would have been a solid player. You know what I mean?
Instead of, like, forcing.
Like, the mindset was there. Like, clearly this guy could actually play. He had a lot going for him, but, like, I don't know. It kind of just fizzled out.
Yeah, it's like 80% on the Knicks organization and 20% on Melo for not, like, realizing what he had.
This kind of makes me angry that Melo still went to the Knicks, and, like, the Knicks kind of did him dirty for not helping him. Because I'm like, man, you had a prime Carmelo Anthony. It's like, dude is nice. Like, dude, you guys could have done something.
Dude pretty much single-handedly won. I mean, he won a scoring championship or a scoring title. And in that same year, he got a vote for MVP, which unfortunately took away from LeBron's unanimous MVP. But
the one vote.
Sucks to suck, bro. It's Melo.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love Carmelo Anthony, but it's like, come on, bro. Like, LeBron was on a different planet that year. Like,
yeah.
This man was not caring.
But, nah, man. I mean, he just, that's another thing is, like, there's so many players who's had, like, wasted talent because their organizations didn't give them help.
That's like, I mean, it might be Giannis. It might be Giannis next. Who knows? Like, they got Drew Holiday, it's like, have help, pretty though. Solid.
Like, they were literally the number one team in the league for 2 years, and they just didn't win.
Would you say that's because of, like, the whole team? Or would you say it's primarily just Giannis?
It's partially on Giannis for, I mean, not being able to shoot three and space the floor better, but...
That's fair.
That team still. I have a feeling he's probably.
I feel like he's gonna win a chip in the next few years.
Like, this past year,
had a pretty
year,
good feeling. Giannis.
Yeah, I feel like he will. But this past year, they really choked. Like, they were, like, one of the number one defensive teams. They were literally the number one team in the league.
Yeah, what the hell happened
and
there?
They still got exposed by a Boston Celtics team.
It was kind of odd. Even the first game, they lost to the Magic, which apparently the Magic just go divine basketball game one of every series.
Dude, they literally went look like they're about to win a chip in the first game. And then they go back to being
I remember watching that game because I was like, oh, this is going to be a blowout, but, like, whatever. And then they were winning by, like, a decent amount. And I was like, wait, what? When did this happen?
I feel it's like they win games because everybody's, like, so relaxed. They're like, that's the Magic, bro. They're shit. Probably. And then they just win a game. And they're like, oh, okay, shit. All right, we got to try. They're still a professional team.
Okay. It's kind of crazy to me that, like, the Magic haven't been a super, super relevant team since Dwight Howard was last.
Oh, yeah, I guess since Dwight Howard, yeah.
Because Dwight Howard led them to the finals, and that was when Dwight Howard was, like, on a fucking mission. But, like, prior to that, yeah, Shaq and Penny probably. I can't really...
Yo, it's weird. They go through, like... Well, they've only gone through, like, two golden days, like, Dwight and Shaq, but... Yeah, I feel like they're still trying to live out their glory days, because they draft so many big men. It's like, they have so many centers and power forwards. They're like, we just need another Shaq or Dwight. That's all we need. It's like, okay, I mean, that was like 10 plus years ago, but okay.
Man, Dwight Howard back then. Oh.
Yeah, that man was crazy. Three-time.
It was actually scary. It's scary to watch him. I remember when I was a kid, we'd like come downstairs and watch some of the games, and like whenever Shaq, or Dwight Howard was playing when he was on the Magic, dude. What the fuck?
He was crazy.
There's some shit there. I'm like, this guy's like far and away the best defensive player. Like, obviously the game changed a little bit. Like, you have to respect people's perimeter games a lot more nowadays than you did back then.
Yeah.
But like, his rim protection and, like, I don't know, everything about him. It's just like, this guy was crazy.
Yeah.
You don't make 3-time DPOI without, you know, clearly being fucking one hell of a defensive player and, like, still be able to drop 20 on you.
Do we even have a defensive player like him? Like, I guess Rudy Gobert, like AD, but I feel like other than those two, there's really no one that's like that did it like Dwight did it, or does it like Dwight did it.
I would say your closest one is probably Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I think Anthony Davis is obviously a phenomenal defender. My favorite player in the league right now, but like...
Didn't AD win Defensive Player this year? No. Nope. No, it was Giannis. He won Defensive Player and MVP.
He was second. And it was actually pretty close. I remember looking at the votes. I'm pretty sure he wasn't too far off. Like, it was a close race.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
I see some people's
argument. I
kind of
wish AD won it, because, like, that's my guy. You know, like, just like, I want Devin Booker to win a chip, because that's my guy.
Yeah. Well, I get why. Like, I'm excited for Giannis because he won a back-to-back MVP and a Defensive Player of the Year. And he could have won a chip if they didn't choke.
You know what's crazy? That could have been LeBron, too. 2012-2013.
Yup.
Won the MVP, and then he won the MVP again. And he was second by, like, not a lot to Marc Gasol. It could have been crazy.
Yup. Fat old Marc Gasol.
How do you think he's going to do in the Lakers this year?
I mean, he's going to do what he does. He's going to do what he did for the Raptors, yeah. Maybe a little, like, slower, less minutes. Yeah, well, I mean, he
was pretty solid at the three.
Yeah, I mean, he did that like he wasn't on the Raptors, but I just think he's going to get a lot less minutes.
Oh, really? You think so?
Oh, for sure. Dude, on the Raptors, who else is going to... What do you mean? Who else would start? You got AD...
I don't think they're going to put 80 at the... You think they'll put 80 at the five?
They could. They play.
I know they could, but it's like... This guy has clearly said that he wants to be at the four unless it's, like, needed.
Yeah, but if they like, depending on the team they play...
Oh, yeah, okay, so it'll probably be, like...
Yeah.
Probably, like, LeBron, and then, like...
LeBron, Schroeder, and, like...
Wesley Matthews?
Yeah, Wesley Matthews.
Probably at the two. Schroeder's probably coming off bench.
Yeah, but I'm saying if they play, like, a smaller lineup, you're, like... Schroeder the one, Wesley Matthews the two, LeBron, Kuzma, 80.
I'm excited to see how well Montrezl Harrell fits with them too.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. Montrezl Harrell's for sure gonna like be battling for a starting.
Apparently on the Clippers, like, Montrezl Harrell had like beef with some people, namely like Paul George's stuff. Not like enough to be like, fuck you, I never want to talk to you again, but like clearly there were some issues.
I feel clearly.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it might be a little different here because you have LeBron and AD as your leaders, who obviously LeBron is a little more vocal of a leader than Kawhi is and Paul George. LaVocal. complains about everything on a basketball
court.
That's
true, bro. This man complains too much. There's some I'm like, damn,
this guy needs to shut up sometime.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy, though. I think it's Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver was like, man, like, you play against him, you're like, this guy gets so many fucking calls. But then you like play with him, and he's like, man, this guy literally does not get calls.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah, it is. It is weird. I feel like that they got to balance it out, though, because they give him so many calls, and they're like, you know what, we're going to just, he's big enough. Like, he doesn't
need
these calls.
That clearly didn't hurt him.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I've seen him.
Actually. Oh, keep going.
Okay. I've seen him in... back-to-back plays, he'll travel like bringing the ball up, literally just walk with it, hold it for like four steps, and
yeah,
people will be like,
I know exactly what
you're doing
about.
Yeah,
he's
playing Utah. And then on the next play, he like fucking, I don't know, somebody got all ball, like blocked him, and he was complaining. He was like,
he gets the call.
Hand No, he didn't get the call, but like he's complaining about it. It's like, dog, you can't travel on one play and then the next get blocked and complain about it. Go fuck yourself.
Like, fuck. I think that's probably why he's like big time too.
Yeah,
it's like he's so passionate about every single call. It's like, whether for better or for worse. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, just go play.
Yeah.
And other times I'm like, damn, that wasn't a call. Like, that's clearly a foul.
Yeah.
It sparks so much like commotion that like you can't help but like watch.
I feel like when he was on Cleveland, he definitely like they missed so many calls on him. Like he got battered, and they were just like, nope, not a foul. Mm-mm. Unless he's dead, it's not a foul.
Yeah. They're like, see, you have a pulse? No, he's good. Yeah. All right, not a foul.
He's standing? Mm-mm. It's fine.
Oh, sorry, this is what I wanted to bring up. Do you remember the Hawks? The Atlanta Hawks had like an A1 fucking like 60-win team a few years back.
2014, 15 or something like that.
Yeah, with like, who's it, Millsap, Horford, Korver.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got like swept out first round.
Jeff
it was just like that. Yeah, it's just like, how many teams can you mention are a 60-win team that are so good in the regular season, aside from the Bucks?
It doesn't happen often. Definitely doesn't happen often.
I was like, what the hell? Like, I remember them being a good team, but I don't remember them getting swept.
Were
so
they
fast.
A number
and then
one
I was
seed
like,
too?
Mm-hmm. They were
they
the first
swept
seed.
Swept by an eighth seed. Oh, man, that's tough. That is so tough.
Oh, wait, the Hawks that year?
Yeah. Were they not a number one? I don't know. I guess I'd have to.
No, they got past first round. They got swept by LeBron in the second.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's what I remember, yeah. Because I was like, I remember LeBron just like swept through them.
Speaking
I'm like,
of
man, you really had a 60-win team.
The Wizards traded John Wall for Russell Westbrook. And I feel like that's a lose for both teams.
I don't know. It depends on if John Wall can stay healthy, and it depends on if Russell Westbrook can.
I mean, John Wall is supposed to be coming back this year. Apparently, he's been looking good in training. And John Wall and Bradley Beal apparently are like close.
They had good chemistry.
Yeah.
For the short amount of time that they played together, they had good chemistry.
So, like, you're going to get rid of John Wall, who, yeah, okay, is a little iffy.
It's crazy, though.
But you're going to replace him with Russell Westbrook, who's going to fuck up your team? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Are you saying that because you're biased against Russell Westbrook? Are you legitimately?
I mean, I am biased, but, like, also, this man fucks up every team he's on.
We'll see. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Like, he ball hogs. He clearly can't shoot the three, which is, they fucking need it.
It's very odd that he can't shoot the three. I don't remember him being this bad at fucking shooting threes.
Oh, he's
like,
always been bad at shooting threes.
It wasn't great, but like I remember him hitting some.
Yeah, it's because he would basically just spot up and hit threes when he had KD and Harden. Like, he never actually had to shoot the three. Once he started having to shoot the three, everybody was like, oh, he kind of sucks.
It will be, actually, I think it might, the fit might be okay, though, between Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. Because, like, you have to respect Beal's shot. But, like, if you have to respect his shot, that means, like, you have to have defenders on him.
Yeah.
Which kind of clears up paint
like,
for, like, it makes sense to me. Like,
yeah.
Their play styles can mesh, but it's like, yeah, I agree that, like, it doesn't completely fit in my head.
And, like, John Wall and Russell Westbrook are, like, similar in play style. They're both really quick.
Yeah, explosive guards.
They're both decent passers. Like, I'd say John Wall's probably, like, if you're counting him as really healthy, he's probably a better passer. And he can shoot
then
three.
Russ?
Then Russ, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It'll be interesting to see John Wall and Harden as a backcourt.
Yeah. Oh,
like, best backcourt. You know what's crazy, though, is that in the West, I feel like there's so many different teams with good backcourts.
Yeah.
Like, if you count LeBron as your point guard, I feel like you have to mention it as a decently good backcourt, regardless of who he's with, just because it's LeBron James. But then you have D-Book and CP3. Fuck, it sucks that Klay still got injured, but like Steph and Klay obviously are probably one of the best backcourts of all time, like without question.
Mm-hmm.
You have Harden and fuck is his name? Why am I John Wall?
John Wall, yeah. And you got Boogie on that team. We'll see if he gets injured
man,
again.
If this guy stay healthy, man. Like I just want him to stay healthy for one season.
Dude,
I
if he would
thought,
stay
like,
healthy when he was on Golden
he's
State.
He's a hothead, but he's a good player.
Bro, could you imagine? Because he was on Golden State when the Raptors won. So, like, could you imagine if he was healthy? They lose KD and they lose Klay, but they still got deep. Like, they still got Boogie.
Yeah, Boogie and Steph would be a.
They for sure still win. They for sure still win.
It kind of sucks, honestly. Like, I don't like Golden State that much, personally. But, like, it does really suck that, like, they lost, what, three of their four main players to injury? Like, Draymond Green was the only one that was really, like, still pretty good.
You know
what's
crazy is they could lose this many people and they still have two all-stars in their starting lineup. They still have Draymond Green. They still have Steph. Like, what the fuck?
Well, they lost Steph this season. That's probably the only reason. Honestly, like, if they didn't lose Steph this season, they would have made playoffs. Like,
yeah, but
I'm pretty confident in saying
sense to not make playoffs because now they have James Wiseman.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how it turned out.
They're gonna do okay.
They really finessed the league. They won they went 3-for-5 in the last 5 years. Tanked one season and got the number two pick.
Yeah, get a fucking lottery pick, a top three pick. And they're going to come back right back up to the top. With fucking...
Well,
they
we'll
still
see.
Have Andrew Wiggins.
I'm fucking praying. I am praying. It's my annual Andrew Wiggins to do it.
Yeah, it's the annual all Andrew
Wiggins.
But
he's on a different team
like,
now. He's on a different team
he's
now.
He's good this time. He's actually like sick this year.
He's on some. He like. I feel like Minnesota didn't hold him accountable, just like they don't hold Karl-Anthony Towns accountable.
Yeah, I mean, again,
I
we'll
like
see him defensively, but like, they're taking the
like,
Rockets stance, and
get,
they're like all offense, no defense, all offense.
I get he was I get he was a number one pick and all, but it's like, obviously, like everyone was hyping him up to be like next man up. Literally, but I mean, like 20 points per game isn't bad. Like, it's not like he's doing bad. He's just not doing great.
He's just,
which
not
is like everyone wanted him to do
the same as what he was hyped up to be.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's the only reason I think people call him a bust. Like, if he was a number like six pick or something,
yeah, it'd be fine.
I think it's just the fact that he got hyped up that much. But like, I don't know. I think with Steph there, you got Steve Kerr as your head coach. I feel like the culture in Golden State is a little more prominent than Minnesota. I'm really hoping he takes a step, at least a little bit of a step forward. Starts averaging more points, a little better defensively. It's my guy, I'll believe, for this year until he undoubtedly lets me down again.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's not going to play any defense. I mean, you can only hope he does the Harden route and he, like,
but if
just
you think
out
about
of
it,
nowhere starts playing defense.
I think he will, because it's like you got Draymond Green on you, and Draymond Green is a very good vocal leader, in my opinion. Yeah. He will hold you accountable. Like, it's clear that he can hold people accountable.
Yeah, I mean, he literally yelled at KD.
Like, yeah,
that's why,
like,
he left.
You're yelling at, like, the only player in this decade that could probably take LeBron James one-on-one for best player this decade. It's like, you don't yell at someone just like that.
Yeah.
Without, you know, having the balls to back it up. So I think Draymond Green will hold him accountable, and Andrew Wiggins will actually take a step forward. So I'm praying. Just like I'm praying that CP3 and Devin Booker don't get bounced out first round and at least make, like, conference finals.
Yeah. Okay.
Because apparently
okay,
two things that don't mesh are CP3 and conference finals.
Uh-huh. Yep. Clippers curse. And the fact
that
I
think
it was because
he was the Clippers. It was the Clippers.
It might be. But he was also in Houston and...
But they had, okay, he got injured. Come on.
Yeah, but it still didn't
come
happen.
On. They were up 3-1. Don't get me wrong. 0-27 from the three.
His
that's
body
tragic,
couldn't take
like,
the pressure. His body was just like, nah.
We're done.
We're out.
Like, come on. You know you're not allowed to be here. Like,
yeah. Who are you kidding, bro? We're not getting there.
I'm hoping. CP3 is also one of my favorite players.
What was I going to say? What were we talking about right before we talked about CP3?
Andrew Wiggins. Golden State.
Oh, yeah. Fucking, okay. On the note of KD, did you ever see that clip of him where he's like, I guess it's like a commercial or whatever, and he's like talking to the camera, and he's like, I was in a situation, double teamed, with no one to pass to, and then they edit to the clip that he's talking about, and there's literally like all four of his teammates are open along the perimeter, and he's like, so I pulled up, hit the shot, and you didn't see it. It's like all the comments were like, man, this guy's really that disrespectful. It's like,
I can't knock him though. He's one of those. He's another player that is like, I don't care if he talks trash, because it's like, this guy can clearly back it up. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get 40 points off of less than 20 shots often.
Like, if you're gonna say he had no one to pass to,
yeah,
and he had the confidence to take the shot, double teamed for a game winner mid range, and he still hits it. It's like, all right, well, I guess you can't really say anything, because this man really is it.
I don't understand how you could be that tall and have guard like movements.
I don't know
it's
how you
really
could just
not
be
fair.
That tall. 7 feet.
He's really long. He's really fucking long.
Yeah.
Like, he's not big, he's long. Like, he's really tall. Like, to me, someone who's big and tall, like Giannis. Giannis is a big guy, and like, he's tall.
That's
or like
thing.
LeBron. LeBron's a big guy, but he's also decently tall. Like, you're
6'9". Like 6'9", yeah.
Close to 7 feet in shoes.
Yeah. Man, yeah, there's some people that are like disgustingly long. Spiders. Fucking Anthony Davis, Giannis, fucking Rudy Gobert. This man could touch the floor standing up.
Yeah, it's odd.
Without
the
bending
floor,
down.
That's the ceiling.
No, without bending down. His arms just go to the
just
floor.
That long. I didn't realize Kawhi is, what, 6'7"? But he has a 7-foot wingspan, which makes sense. It's just like it didn't click with me. I was like, oh, yeah, he's 6'7", whatever. But when I hear 7-foot wingspan, I think of big men, not Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, right? Also, when you see his hand size, you're like, that's the hands of a man who is made by fucking... science. His hands are huge.
Yeah, his hands are massive.
They don't make any sense. Like, his thumb comes out like an extra like 4 feet. Yeah.
His shot, actually, it bugs me because he has a flat-looking shot, but he's actually pretty solid at the line.
It doesn't make any sense. Solid
from mid-range. I'm like, all right, I get the dunks and stuff. Like, I get the floaters, but it's like your shot is hella flat. How the and hell are
he
you
releases?
Hitting?
He releases it like so far up in the air. It's so weird. His auntie literally just brings the ball. He doesn't like bring it like above his shoulder. He just like brings it straight up and just. Doesn't make any sense.
He's got
sense.
A weird shot, but it's like it I works. Mean, hey, he's a certified scorer. Like,
yeah,
he's hitting 25 to 26 points a game. Like, you can't really knock how he's shooting.
MVP caliber.
Job's player. Getting done.
Yeah.
Has he won an MVP yet?
No.
No, right?
Never won an MVP. Although he there's was definitely in the running when he was on Toronto.
There's a lot of players that I'm like, how the hell you've not won an MVP yet?
He's two finals MVPs.
Yeah.
He's never not won a finals MVP when he's won a chip. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Clearly, he was the most important player on Toronto. I don't think anyone's going to debate that. And like, obviously in the Spurs, like he wasn't first man up, but like he played phenomenal defense on LeBron. Like he stopped him from going 35 points a game to like 25 points.
Yeah,
a game.
Yeah, and I think he still averaged like 15 or 17 points.
Yeah, like he was solid.
Yeah.
That year.
But don't get me wrong.
I do think that series could have had a Finals MVP go to any of the Spurs, really. Like,
yeah.
Tim Duncan was a little older, but still playing like obviously really well. Tony Parker and Ginobili were still playing very well. You know what I mean?
Like that roster, whenever they were in like playoffs, they just didn't really play bad. they just like the other team just played better.
I can't tell if it's like, I honestly can't tell if it's just Greg Pop being that good of a coach. Or if these guys were just that solid of players or like a mixture. I think it's a mixture of
all of it. Yeah.
But it's just like, damn. You're
literally one of the best coaches in sports history. And
tied to one of the best teams.
Yeah. You have three Hall of Famers. Plus you had like.
Arguably four. Like obviously Kawhi wasn't a Hall of Famer at that time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You could make a pretty solid case for Kawhi being in the Hall of Fame.
But you had like, I mean, here, let me look up their bench. But like that team. In 2014 was kind of crazy.
Oh, their bench?
They had Matt Bonner. They had Danny Green.
Oh, yeah.
In his prime, basically. Solid. You had Bellinelli, who at the time wasn't great. Corey Joseph was, I mean, he was playing okay.
Was Thiago Splitter on that roster?
Yep. Yeah. Boris Diaw got fat. You had a young Patty Mills. A young Aaron Baines. No shit.
Oh, Aaron Baines is on that Spurs roster?
Yeah, he wouldn't have played that. He wouldn't have played that great, but.
Hold up. So he has a chip then, right? Because they won that year in 2014. Wait,
hold on. Let's do. Yeah, 2013-14. Yeah, so he must have a chip, right? Fucking Aaron Baines.
Oh, yeah. 2014 NBA champ.
Damn. This man's crazy. And he's still on the Suns. Bro, the Suns roster's looking crazy.
Yeah, the Suns roster's nice. Damn. Anyways.
I think that's going to wrap it up. We've been going for like hour and 15 almost.
Facts.
So once again, thank you guys for listening. Or if you're on YouTube, thank you for watching. Hopefully.
We started this with the intention of shoes.
Yeah. And then, that's what happens, honestly, is like shoes bleeds in with like so many other different things that it just.
Yeah, that's obviously shoes are a big part of basketball and sports.
Exactly.
And you can make the same case for shoes being a big part of like fucking rap and music and stuff.
Mm-hmm. All of that sort of just like blends together. It's very much similar in culture. Yeah. But again, thank you for watching. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you guys want to watch full length video episodes now.
Trust me, it makes the difference. It makes a difference. You get to see the facial expressions.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like personally, if I'm going to watch listen to a podcast, I'm usually watching it on YouTube.
Yeah, like
I might not necessarily be watching like the whole thing, but like, you know, if they start talking about something really interesting, I'm like, oh, let me watch this.
That's fair.
But
yeah, anyways, I think it also adds a different element when you can see the person, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think it actually helps.
It's a lot easier to connect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels more relatable because it's like you're talking with them. Or like they're talking to you rather than just like hearing them talk.
For sure, for sure.
All right.
You got any final words?
Sure.
Nothing? All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Have a good day. See you.